Good evening and welcome, dear friends. It is so good to see each of you this evening. We begin in prayer. In the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent indwelling, the most holy living Trinity, in whom we live and move and have our being. And so it is. Our Christ candle is lit this evening as the symbol always for us that Christ is in us, among us, and within all as a central being. So tonight we gather to listen and to hear, to awaken, to receive the food of impressions and to digest them. For being. We know that our shared intention matters, our attention matters, our work matters for ourselves, one another, those close to us, and for all creation. So tonight we begin our time by honoring once again our beloved teacher, Maurice Nickell. Maurice Nickell died on August 30th of 1953. 2 weeks before his death, which would have been about this time, he held this very last meeting with his students. And this is what is written about that particular evening. It was written by his secretary and later an esteemed work teacher in her own right, Burl Poxon. She says, he talked to us for a long time, very quietly. After a time, we became aware that he seemed to have thrown off his illness altogether. His voice had changed. His face had changed. It was Dr. Nickell as we had known him of old, and he was sitting there talking with us. He spoke very simply with a deep sense of urgency about the need of humility, about the Sermon on the Mount, about the danger of vanity, of resentment, the need for valuation, which was the way towards service. He was stressing with a quiet intensity the same truths that Christ had stressed when teaching. Dr. Nickell had raised the consciousness of the meeting so that all who were present had an experience they would never forget. So may we come to know and to be this expression of being that raises the level of consciousness wherever we are and surrender all to God. And we give thanks for the life and the being of Maurice Nickell. How fortunate we are to follow in his lineage. And so now we prepare ourselves consciously. We can hold ourselves under his influence in that particular evening so many years ago. So far away from us, seemingly so in ordinary distance, but so very close to us. And we place ourselves in the stillness of being quiet, a place of imminent trust and receptivity. Dr. Nickell's and many other influences emanating from the spirit through the conscious circle of humanity are coming to us. They have a wish for us. They wish for us to reach and open to them. We do not have to think about this. We are simply to be attentive to it. And give ourselves to it. So with back upright, heart open, mind in directed attention. We breathe in from every inmost part of our being, all being, everything. Everything that is hurt, everything that seems dark, harsh, shameful, hidden, ugly, irreparably damaged, diseased, unforgiving, unforgivable, resentful, resistant, unloving, unlovable, everything. And we hold it as offering, lift it, transubstantiate it in faith, in hope, in love. In my every being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as loved, in light. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I am. I wish. I can work. I hand over the complexities of this day. I hand over the plans for tomorrow. I hand over all the anxieties and small fears of my heart. I lay down my constructed life, and I stand unencumbered before God and one another. Lord, have mercy on us. And now we prepare to enter into the prayer of Lectio Divina. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sowed on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then the world, the anxiety, and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Bringing a new awareness of the world around us and ourselves through the eyes of essence, fueling higher emotional and mental centers, and serving our work and evolution. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky soil is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who understands the word, who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold, bringing a new awareness of the world around us and ourselves through the eyes of essence, fueling higher emotional and mental centers, and serving our work and evolution. The seed sowed on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no root and lasts only for a time. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Bring a new awareness of the world around us and ourselves through the eyes of essence, fueling higher emotional and mental centers and serving our work and evolution. And so it is. I now invite you, as you are moved to do so, to raise your hand and to share with us what you received as a gift for all of us. Tamara, please.
So, when I heard the seed is sown in the thorns and worldly anxiety, it reminded me of influences and how Peter has been talking about influences. Yes. And worldly anxiety. And it just really reminds me how much the work helps me in my day-to-day life. And you know, overcoming those worldly anxieties and being more grounded in love and listening to the B and C influences.
Ah, yes, indeed. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you. Thank you. Deborah or Don, please.
Tis I. Hello, Marianne.
Hello, Don. Deborah, too.
I heard all four of those seeds talking to me and reminding me that I'm all four of them every day. And the beauty, of course, is that fourth one, because those first three don't stay. They come and they do. I mess up, whatever that is. I don't know what got that microphone, but they come and they go. But that fourth one stays because it's understanding. It has the word understanding. And the first three make it possible for me to gain knowledge of what I'm not. And then by applying the first conscious shock or centering prayer or any of the being food, I can grow my essence, and that grows every day, making it easier and easier for me to see when I am one of those first three seeds. Mm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Don. Thank you. Ellen, please.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at the second one with a little laughter in my heart, because I realized many, many, many years ago that when I would get involved in something new, like Boy Scouts or model planes or gardening or yoga, that I wouldn't get involved with enthusiasm, which would wane pretty shortly. And so about 20 or 30 years ago, I began to drop the enthusiasm when I got involved with something new, and just to simply engage the process. So I suppose what happened was I changed the route from enthusiasm to the process. And now things persist.
Very good. Thank you, Alan. Thank you. That's a beautiful insight. Kathleen, please.
Well, I love the picture and the words, but the picture really made me think of stillness.
Yes.
And waiting. Mm-hmm. And I've had some challenges the last week, and I've tried to be still and to listen for guidance and to wait. And the image of the seed made me think of waiting for a seed to open up and to emerge from the soil. Mm-hmm. And so we're always waiting to see what grows from the seeds that have been planted. But it was a lovely image of waiting rather than an anxious image of waiting, which is indeed what I'm aiming for.
Yes. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you. Camille.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Camille. Good evening.
The image drew my attention as well. And I saw the woman looking, it seemed to be at the bird. Mm-hmm. And the bird had a halo around it. And I saw that as probably a bee influence that she was recognizing, and who the bird maybe brought her a seed of understanding. And that communication of sorts between the bird and the setting and the woman was an example of understanding and how bee influences can bring that.
Indeed. Yes. Thank you so much, Camille, for that. I saw many of the same things myself in that image. Anyone else? We have time for a couple of more. Sandy, please.
So I have told that parable many times in Godly Play, and I, like Don, followed it all four situations, but for me, aim kept coming up. So on the path, I might get a thought and think, that's my aim. Or on the rocky soil, it might stick a little longer and then it goes away. With the thorns, it could be life that might get in the way or some other influence. And then for the deep soil, I felt like it was real aim coming from a much deeper inner place. Mm-hmm. And then the end of that goes straight into work language.
Yes.
So it does, it reminds me of the hydrogen path, or just all of the work ideas, accumulator, and working for our transformation.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sandy.
Sure.
Anyone else? Well, gratitude for each of you, those who step forth to share, and for everyone that have held close to the thoughts of our hearts, all of which are emanating from us for one another. So thank you. And now we are privileged, and I'm very pleased to introduce Beverly McCune, who will accompany us on our continuing journey through influences and the transformations of impressions. So Beverly, welcome.
Thank you, Marianne. Good evening, everyone. Well, we have had an amazing feast of impressions this last week. Last week's email and Robin's teaching last week, a real feast. So let's go right to the homework. So there were several things that we were invited to last week in the homework. First, to read the message in its various links several times aloud and to see what came to meet you. Also to observe the influences that we were putting ourselves under all week, especially looking at what our influences or impressions were at the beginning and the end of the day, and to see, were they enlivening or enervating? And then we were given this beautiful practice for August of watching the light. And it, as a beautiful way to prepare ourselves for Lexio or welcoming prayer sleep. So we were invited to try to wake up early to sit and watch the light fade in at dawn, and then also or fade out in the evening at sunset until the stars came out. And to notice how long that took, to notice our resistance to the exercise, to see how easily the mind wanders. And like in centering prayer, just to return ever so gently to, I love that, this visio divina of being with the light. So what did it reveal? What feelings arose in you? What sensations, what thoughts and emotions were you aware of? So we can report on the homework, on this August practice, or if you have any reflections on Robin's class, all of those would be welcome. So who would like to begin? Deborah, please. Or Don. Hi, Don.
Yeah.
And Deborah.
The light in the morning and the light in the going in the evening and the amount of time it takes for that to happen was very instrumental in me being able to observe the experience of the influences that were coming into me at any given time during this week. And there are two extraordinary experiences I had. One yesterday, where because of going from seeing the sunrise and then right out of my centering prayer and then reading the email from last week and the commentary. So really steeping myself again in these B influences and then going into my workplace and experiencing one of my colleagues who got really upset. And I observed this colleague in the hall expressing what was going on. And I just took it in and I didn't realize at the time that I was just like watching the sunrise. I was just watching her. And then she got finished talking and she walked by me. I asked if she was okay. And I had been doing part of the presentation that had just happened. And she said, well, not really. And she said, it's not because of you per se, but it was an issue that happened. And she kind of told me about it, but I didn't understand what she was saying, because I was taking in her emotion. I was taking in her being. I didn't realize it at the time. I just realized I wasn't able to understand what she was saying. But it was that time, that patience that I don't usually spend in my everyday interactions with people, places, or things. And so by the end of our interaction, we were talking and laughing. And then as she walked away, I was like, what just happened? I now understand what was bothering her, but from a more comprehensive place. It was the impressions from the morning allowed me to be able to be more open than ever before. And it was in that time that I don't usually spend. And the same thing happened with my grandson earlier this week when I was saying goodbye. And he said goodbye and we were outside and something just made me stop and not move and just look at him. And he was standing there. And then I realized, I just felt that he was not ready for me to go. And so I stayed around and we did some more things. But by the time I got ready to go, I said, I have to leave now. He got up, crawled up on me and just hugged me around the neck. He's three. and I was like, okay, how often do I just say bye and walk out? I mean, I'm not in the moment. I'm not present. I'm not ready to put that time and that it takes to watch the sun rise or the night begin in the evening. And it's just fundamentally changed to a certain extent the way I begin each day as I walk out of my house, prepared to spend more time and slow down.
Yes. Yes. And you talked about presence, and that's, I think, what has the opportunity to show up when we take that time, right? The presence is there. You're in the moment as opposed to on to the next thing. Yeah. I know I'm that way so much. It's like, okay, done that now, goodbye, I'm leaving, you know, can't wait to get whatever it is. Yeah, yeah.
I feel more goal. I don't feel goal oriented anymore, right?
Yes, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that your listening changed in that first example you gave, that it was like that presence, you were used to hearing in a different way before, and then the presence had to readjust to be able to hear in a new way. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, Don. Who else? Yes, Martin, please.
Last Thursday night, Robin's presentation, as it went through, and I was listening to it, it was a lot that was, I couldn't hear. It was so deep, but it so much rolled out of his consciousness. It was so beautiful. So going back and listening to that with the slides was extremely meaningful. What I wanted to share tonight was this idea of these impressions and the effect on the way that you just take in your air and your food, and then you have the choice of other impressions consciously to just bring in that those shocks for your own health and well-being, really. So one thing that was interesting to do this week was to just kind of, and it sounds funny, to force myself to listen to classical music. I have kind of lost that sense of just thinking that that is important as something to do during the day, to actually bring my mind to a place where I am under sort of these wonderful tones and rhythms. That definitely preclude other thoughts of, you know, it's certainly negative emotion or whatever, but just to get into that and let those rhythms move and with me, so I can actually spend in half an hour. And after that half an hour, there's a really good feeling about that. But just thinking about that food diagram that was presented last Thursday night, I'm thinking, wow, this is all so well connected. If I had just spent that last half an hour, perhaps in a very asleep state versus actually forcing into listening to this just incredibly beautifully timed music. It's like, that's a simple choice. I don't know. What else do I have to do? It's just beautiful. So I share that just hoping to just spread the idea that you can choose that food that's coming in. It's wonderful. And it's a wonderful feeling for your being.
Yes.
Thank you.
And you're choosing the consciousness of it.
Yeah.
You're consciously listening. We often don't consciously listen to music, right? It's around us all the time.
Incredible rhythm. And timing of that classical music is amazing. I can't imagine the discipline required for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's miraculous. It really is. It really is. Yeah. Thank you, Martin. Thank you. Sue or Rusty, please. Nope, still can't hear you. Doing the back and forth there.
No, we should hear
you. Go.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Rusty. Rusty's going to talk.
Okay, Rusty. Hi.
Beverly, how are you doing? There's a phrase that has kind of, I guess, hit me and that I've been working with. And it's this phrase of just, where is God in all of this? And I just try and carry it through the day and just all the stuff, you know, sometimes I don't remember, but there's been a couple of instances where I have, and I feel like it's, again, this method of transforming an impression. There was a just something that happened at Little Work that, that kind of caught me by surprise, that I can kind of go into my little rabbit hole of internal considering, and then usually come out with some reasonably conscious, you know, thing to do. But I mean, right when that hit, that impression hit, I said, where is God in all of this? And it just completely transformed that moment. And just things unfolded as far as actions that were not being micromanaged by me, that just led to a resolution, a quick resolution, and kind of get back to, you know, just being in relationship. And it's also been incredibly useful going through a period where my mom is in the early stages of some transition into an assisted living situation in San Antonio and spending a good bit of time down there. And again, that question, you know, where is God in all of this? And it's been miraculous just to see, you know, an initial resistance on her part to it start to blossom into something, you know, to where, you know, she's in relationship with some people, you know, neighbors there. That is beautiful. You know, she's just in a different space right now. And again, you think of just how simple, but how elusive that idea of where is God in all of this, and not try and answer the question, but just let the impressions ferment under that general query. And so it's been a blessing. And when I hear somebody like Robin talking about, you know, six and three somehow ending up, you know, in ways down here in good old 48, it just, you know, where is God in all of this? And so I've been just kind of sticking with that and seeing where it takes me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Wondering questions are always beautiful because they leave us open. They don't shut us down thinking we know something.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's a good reminder. Leanne, please.
Hi, Bev.
Hey, Leanne.
So a few years ago, I think Peter started mentioning looking at sunsets and sunrises, and he brought that into our scope of awareness. And moving out to the country has really brought it into my scope of awareness because I see so much of it. So to me, what has become so interesting is to watch when is that point that the sunrise actually begins. You know, when does it go from complete darkness and start becoming, when do I notice that lightness beginning? And then for the sunset, the same thing, when does, you know, the complete darkness begin? And I could really feel, just as Don was saying, this calming influence. And so these bee influences that have become a little bit of a routine for me to pay attention to the sunrise and the sunset. And I think that along with also what Peter said about angels recently, you know, when I read the emails and absorb what is the information that's being given to me, I then have this a different awareness. So I went into Austin recently, and Austin is so different for me now that I live out where it's so quiet, and I go into town and it was very hectic and I had appointments and all this stuff, and nothing went according to the way I had programmed it to go. And so the interesting thing to me was to that instead of getting upset or worrying about it and wondering how it was all going to work, there was this flow. And I could not describe it because or account for it being something that I was bringing forth because I wasn't. It was something that I have to think now, and particularly after hearing Don, that, you know, having this absorption of these bee influences, of noticing angels when they arrive. I mean, I had a cutting board that fell. It would have fallen on my foot. I'm sure it would have broken numerous bones in my foot if it had landed, and somehow it went in another direction. I have no idea how that happened, but I have to think that it was an angel watching after me. And so my whole time in Austin wasn't frustrating. Things flowed. I did not get everything done I wanted to do, but there wasn't that anxiety and that frustration that is often accompanying my visits, not only in Austin, but, you know, when my efforts are stymied, when I don't get what I want. It's really cool to see all of this and to recognize that it is definitely coming from another place,
yes,
from a higher above.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for that. It is, and being out in nature more like you are, it's just you absorb more silence, I think, you get to. And especially when you're sitting and watching the light, to be present to that. Who knows what you're taking in, on deeper levels. It is beautiful. And I think between that and doing centering prayer, yoga, your practices, you have that, just that trough of silence, interior silence to draw on when you come to Austin. It's got to help for sure.
Definitely.
Thank you. We have time for more. Who else would like to share? Tamara, please.
Yes, so I love going out in nature, and I love the impressions I get, the incoming impressions from that. That is definitely my all-time favorite. But I have to say I had something this week that also was a very nourishing impression for me. And it was going to get my hair done. Mm-hmm. And such a simple little thing, but I've been going to the same hairdresser for about 15 years and just sharing with her and laughing. And, you know, my heart just opened so much. You know, I have been inside a lot, as many of us have. And I'm kind of an introvert anyways. And so just when I'm in that moment and I'm thinking to myself consciously, this is a gift. This is a gift right here, you know, and not taking it lightly. And that's just, for me, it's been just a beautiful thing to watch. Yeah. So those connections to me, those incoming impressions that I don't get as often because of what's going on, I just treasure them. So.
Yes. Isn't that what so many of us noticed this last year? That all those things we took for granted, that we did all the time, and then all of a sudden we couldn't do them for a year and a half, or we didn't do them, or we chose not to, that all of a sudden they were so precious. And these people we didn't get to see before. I know that was my experience coming back to church. It was like, oh my goodness, you know, and the live music, and wow, you know, we'll be talking about that, this transformation of impressions and how we take things usually. And it's like those old impressions are new all of a sudden. Yeah. Thank you. And your hair looks very nice. Any other reflections on Robin's class? It was a lot. It was a lot for those of us who had been in the work a while, and I would think for those of you who hadn't been. And you know, it'd be nice to hear from new people how it landed for you. I noticed two things, two eyes that came up. Well, probably there were more, but what I did notice in the moment was an eye that was riveted. He was talking about things that we hadn't really talked about much in the way he did. And I was fascinated by his presentation and his PowerPoint and all of that. And then there was this other eye at the end that went, oh my gosh, I have to follow him. Oh my gosh, I can't do it. I mean, it was this panicky eye that came out, and with all the self-criticism in it. It was really fun to see that. It was a gift, and it was this huge thing of knowledge. So yeah, anyone else can share. Sandy?
Robin was good last week, but that's not what I wanted to share.
That's fine.
I was able to really put myself into a situation this week for new impressions, and yet there were old impressions, because I had an opportunity to go to Fredericksburg 5 days with some girls I grew up with in my hometown. And so doing the work ahead of time, you know the songs that are going to be sung, you know the eyes that are going to come up. There was work to make a future memory, a deep wish. And it really turned out wonderful. I was able to actually have a retreat day, about half a day all alone by myself, to help fill up. And I was able to have, just stay centered, to have different conversations that I don't think would have happened if I hadn't sort of prayed about it and set intentions and aims and been listening for the next right action and things like that. And to not try to not have judgment, mm-hmm. and just take in all the impressions, like what you dislike, work with delight, and all that kind of stuff. But it's not exactly the sunrise or the sunset, but last night I went with several friends to stargaze. And before, I had seen tiny shooting stars, but you know, I saw a dozen huge, and it was almost like watching fireworks, but you get that childlike page 10, you know, here's the ray of creation, all of this is coming in, and I'm clapping my hands and kicking my legs as I'm lying on the ground. Anyway, I just kind of wanted to share something more fun, because a lot of times we don't share kind of the lighthearted things.
Yes. Yes.
But yes. Yeah, and you know, I learned from some of my friends things I never knew, because I was open,
yes.
Being open to it all. Mm-hmm. And so.
Thank you very much. It's a good testimony to working with the light and having fun. It's okay to have fun. It's good. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you. Peter, please.
Oh, I'm so happy for Sandra to have that experience. I just wanted to share first of all, I was happy that you're following Robin and not me. But I understand. And the thing about Robin I wanted to just share was how I felt his being. And clearly he's a man who knows, but what was so meaningful to me was I've had the privilege of meeting with Robin, you know, one-on-one, and he was just like that on Zoom. And so I felt his being, and that was very inspirational to me, even though I don't understand all the ideas that he discussed. Some of them were very new to me. But it was inspirational. And the other thing that deeply touched me was his humility. I could feel that as a part of his being, that the gentleness of his teaching and the wisdom of integration of a deep Christianity with the esoteric tradition. And then the last thing that really spoke to me, and I think I felt it infused our whole evening last week, even if we weren't aware of it, is, so here we have a guy who's in the lineage of Gurdjieff, second generation. You know, this is like great grandpa in the family, so to speak. Gurdjieff tradition was, you know, his teacher was Rena Hans, who was a student of Gurdjieff and a student of Uspensky and probably knew Nickel. And here Robin Bloor is second generation to Gurdjieff. You know, he was a student of Rena Hans, who was Gurdjieff's student. So that living tradition is all around us. It's not hundreds of years ago. And I could feel the strength of the signal coming through. Yes. As a result of that. Mm-hmm. And we are a hermetic community in that we're blending Christianity with the work. So there is a bit of diffusion that happens, but not much. And I think that was very, very instructive to me and very insightful teaching that fed me in a deep way. And I'm grateful to Robin.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. It was wonderful, and I felt the same thing from him. You could feel his being, and it was a real gift. So I'm hoping he comes back. And it didn't feel, you're right. It's like you said, it diffuses the further you get away when we, you know, combine it. But he didn't feel like he was way off in Gurdjieff land, like sometimes other things feel to me. Or if I read straight Gurdjieff, you know, he put it in understandable terms, and yeah, made it more attractive to me. So that was, it was a real gift. So thank you. Thank you. Jackie, please.
Hello, everybody. When I first started listening to Robin, even before that, internal considering started about, oh my God, I'm not going to get this again. And I can't say I got it, but I tell you what, I sat there and all of a sudden I felt this flow of higher influences wash over me. And so I knew just to sit with it, if I couldn't understand it, just to stay there. Generally, I want to go off in my mind somewhere else, but I stayed with him, and I'm so grateful I did, because I know I got something out of it.
Yes, that's really good. Do you remember how Tim used to tell us, listen with soft ears? Yeah. That the mind wants to try to get it, especially those of us in our heads, you know, we want to get it, we got to figure it out, put it in the box, and yay, I get it, you know, the I get it box. And yeah, you just listen and like you felt it, which is great. I mean, we get, the rest of us can trust that we get what we need. Yeah. And we understand when we understand, and it's all perfect. Yeah. Thank you, Jackie. Sure. Thank you. Yes, Lynn. Aiden.
Did it do it?
Yes, there you are.
Okay. I wanted to just comment on an idea that Peter brought up on Sunday about being influences that are difficult experiences that open us up. And the example he gave was being at one of the concentration camps and just feeling just the deep, deep pain of you know, everything that happened there. And I thought that was a really an idea that I had never really contemplated before, but I could also see how powerful that is as far as making us more empathetic and compassionate. And right after church, the next day or so, I was reading an editorial, and I've been meaning to send it to Peter, but the editorial had to do with one of the states wants to sort of tamp down history to not allow, I think there's something like, if this makes someone feel bad or feel guilt about something that occurred in history, then, you know, the school system is going to be punished. And I thought, you know, here is that sort of opportunity to have that sort of reverse be influence, where, you know, something bad may have happened in history, just like the Holocaust happened in history. But it's an opportunity for us to feel it, experience, and learn from it. And, you know, so I just really saw that happening, like in our, you know, culture right now. And it was something that I felt, that's a really interesting way to look at be influences. So that was really powerful. Thank you, Peter. I see you up on my screen.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those things serve as shocks for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can wake us up. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. So we'll move on now to our topic for the evening, which is the transformation of impressions. And really, Robin did a good job of looking at that. And we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about it. As the email talks about, usually we take in impressions mechanically. And where do they go then? They just fall on the associations inside of us. All those neural pathways get triggered. And they don't really go anywhere, as we'll see in a moment. Whereas they need to fall on essence, as what Madame de Saltzman talked about. And I would like to start with another quote from her that's in the email, I think. We must respond to impressions no longer from the vantage point of personality, but from love for being present. Just like what Don was talking about. This will transform our whole way of thinking and feeling. And that's so true. Just, well, the love for being present, that's really what we want. That's really what we want. So impressions, they're food. They're one of the three different kinds of foods that our organism takes in. From the email. This is a diagram from the commentaries. This relates to this three-story house that we have, where we have the moving center here, the emotional center here, the intellectual center here, and the different foods for each story. Food for the moving center, air for the emotional center, the center of our body, and impressions up here. For the intellectual center. The numbers refer to hydrogens. He talked a lot about hydrogens last week. Again, for this email, kind of simplifying it in the sense of the higher the number, the denser the substance, the slower the vibration of it. So these numbers refer to vibratory level or density. And there's a wonderful definition now in the glossary. It's very extensive, and so you can learn a lot from that. I'm not going to go over really into hydrogens much. So just see that 768 here at food, that's the food we take into our mouths, that's very dense, okay? Air, we can't see it, but we're taking it in. That's 192, smaller number. And then our, am I freezing up my, I just got a message that my internet is unstable. Is it okay? Yes? Okay. Impressions come in at with 48. And each of these are foods. Again, we don't think of air much as a food, but it is, it really is. And so now moving to Robin's diagram that he brought to us last week, you see the three foods over here and the three-story house. He has all three foods coming in the top of the, at the top. You think about it, we do take in all three foods first at this part of the body, right? But this diagram can be a little tricky, to follow, just to see where it goes. Now, he talked about digestion, right? We're talking about digestion or transformation of impressions. And he used the term deconstruction, which I thought was really fascinating. We're deconstructing when we digest these foods. They turn into finer energies. That's what the digestion and the deconstruction is. And they proceed according to the law of octaves. And again, that's based on a system that Gurdjieff set up, this law, a system of steps that each of the food goes through. And you can see it's uses again that the musical scale, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do for an ascending octave, and do, si, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do for a descending octave. Since these impressions are being digested, broken down into finer substances, they're really ascending, okay? They're ascending from denser to finer. So you can see, let's take the food octave here, go from do 768, re 384, mi 192, fa, the numbers get lower and lower, I mean lower, smaller and smaller, right? Until it ends up down here at C12. And same for the air octave and for the impressions, except air starts at a lower number and goes, and impressions even a smaller or finer substance. So the important thing to see in this is that shocks are needed for these substances at certain points to be transformed. So right here in the air octave, the air actually gives, when it comes into the organism, gives me of the food octave, do, re, mi, see it's right next to this. This little squiggly line is the shock. It gives a mechanical shock to air so that it can move over the mi, fa interval to fa 96, sol 48, la 24, down to C12. That is an automatic shock that happens in automatic digestion of food. That's how food gets digested all the way through the octave. I know it's not all the way up to do again, but for now, that's a pretty complete octave, all right? And that happens naturally, unless of course we're identified with negative emotions or something. It doesn't really complete very well, does it? Now, air does not move all the way. Air goes from do to re to mi, and at that point, unless something happens, unless another shock happens there, it does not complete its movement to fa and mi down to here. Not mi to, I'm sorry. So it's fa to sol, and then up to la six. La six being food for the higher intellectual center. So something has to happen here, and that's the first conscious shock, okay? That's this shock of self-remembering, of bringing hydrogen 12, which is it's a high energy, which is the energy of consciousness, of awakeness, to the impressions, okay? In the commentaries, I didn't include it here. Nickel has a diagram with just do 48 there and two lines right after it, two parallel lines. And what he shows with that is that unless we give this conscious shock here, unless we're awake when the impressions come in, this does not proceed to ray 24 or down to me 12. It stops. Well, it stops. What it does, it lands on personality and on all the associations that we have. It doesn't go anywhere new. It doesn't give us any additional energy. That's what all this digestion is about, to give us this energy, this high energy of soul 12 and above. I mean, hydrogen 12, pardon me. It's me, soul C here, but hydrogen 12, finer energy to use for our transformation. So, however, if this conscious shock is given here, if we're awake at the point of incoming impressions, not only does the impressions digest to me 12, to hydrogen 12, but air as well, the shock of air here is given at me, so that the air octave can go over the me phi interval, that then goes to fa 24, soul to 12, and then this really the highest energy that in the system talks about that we can have as human beings is six, hydrogen six. So, and he said that this goes naturally. So and that is another thing I didn't quite understand, but that's okay. The important thing is shocks are necessary, this first conscious shock. And so how do we give the first conscious shock? Well, we've kind of talked, different people have talked about it so far already. And so he put forward that it's these basic work practices. It always comes back to the basics, doesn't it? If we had nothing else, if we had these, we could go all the way. Self-observation, non-identification, self-remembering, and external considering. When I'm observing, when that impression comes in, I'm divided, right? I'm seeing that impression come in, and I'm seeing my reaction to it. That's really self-remembering. It really, in self-observation and non-identification, there is an element of self-remembering, because we're awake to a certain extent. Of course, full self-observation is self-observing all three centers, right? Non-identification full is all three centers. But if I'm self-observing and I'm seeing something here inside and outside, I'm non-identified to a certain extent as well. Self-remembering, you know, in its full self-remembering in all three centers, we're knowing our true potential, our higher possibilities when, as Amanda Salzman says, when we come back to ourselves alone, okay, when we're here, when we are truly, our center of gravity is in here, then we're self-remembering. And that's the first conscious shock. And that's why the first conscious shock is called the shock of self-remembering as well. External considering, of course, is a wonderful way to bring the first conscious shock at a point where you're receiving an impression of another person, right? Whether you see them, whether it's visual, or you hear their voice, or you see an email from them, whatever it is, to bring that up to that point of incoming impression, you can remember their difficulties, put yourself in their shoes. You can remember that whatever you're seeing, if it's negative in the other person, then that's in yourself as well. And then remembering what your impact on them is, right? That it's a really good way to wake up when you're with other people. For sure. So I had a little experience of first conscious shock this morning. Well, of being able to apply the first conscious shock. Oh, one thing I did want to really emphasize is that there are different kinds of shocks. There's shocks that come from life, right? That just come to us unbidden, such as, you know, we trip and fall, we get in a car accident, our house catches on fire and all the variations of that, things that we're not in control of, we don't see coming. Those are just shocks from life. Sometimes I hear some of us refer to having something happen to us as, oh, I received a first conscious shock today. My understanding is we don't receive first conscious shocks, we give first conscious shocks. So we get shocks from life, but the first conscious shock is an effort that we make at either the place of incoming impressions or in retrospect. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure we're clear on that distinction. So this morning, I'm outside on my porch with my two cats. We're in an apartment and there's a railing and a grated fence in between the porch and the grass. And I'm sitting there talking to my work partner. And all of a sudden this little house wren flits in the bushes and then comes to the fence and bam, my cat gets the bird. Okay, impression. A big impression for this one who loves animals above people, much easier time loving animals than people. So it's not lost on me that this is happening while I'm talking to my work partner and I'm to teach about it, taking first conscious shock and impressions tonight, right? So I'm talking through this with my work partner. It's just so great that this is happening. The cat somehow, the impulse, I get up, try to get the bird from the cat. The bird gets out of the cat's mouth somehow, goes in the corner of the porch and just, I get it. I pick it up and it dies in my hand. And so I stand at the fence and I see the impression came in. Here's this impression that comes in. Now, what is going on with me? The work was right there for me. My heart was pounding. I had an inclination to just burst out crying. And at the same time, I breathed. I knew this was happening for a reason. Again, it wasn't lost on me. I was really cognizant that this was happening. And so I was glad I was with my work partner because that gave me more motivation to actually do the work in the moment. And I felt all that deeply. And then I could see the amazing action impulse that a cat has to do that, you know, that instinctual hunting thing that they have. And he was so fast. It was amazing. Bird didn't have a chance. And I saw that it was all lawful. You know, it's just lawful. And I could, you know, appreciate that this is what Robin was talking about last week too, this whole system of food and feeding and being fed, and this is all part of it. And I could see the self-remembering came in of just seeing it from a higher place, that there was nothing wrong there. There's nothing wrong with my reaction of wanting to cry. There was nothing wrong with the cat going after the bird. There was nothing wrong with the bird dying. It was all what was, that was reality. And so I was able to take the bird after I finished with my work part and take it out and bury it, be grateful for its life, and still feel there was still residual sensation going on, feeling, you know, some hurt for the bird that was still there. But it dissipated really fast. That's the gift of the first conscious shock. Okay, that's really the beauty of it, because we don't have to lose a ton of force from getting totally identified and going down the rabbit hole. And again, most of the time in that kind of situation, I have in the past just been depressed for hours about something like that, or gotten mad at the cats or some silly thing, but doing the work has really helped that. And this whole idea of first conscious shock is so wonderful. So there are other, certainly other ways to self to get the first conscious shock. Someone else spoke about that. Now I'm forgetting who it was. But these are just additional ideas. These weren't in the email, but I just wanted to cover them because they really do bring a first conscious shock to incoming impressions. And that's what we're talking about, those incoming impressions at the moment. The welcoming prayer, knowing that Christ is with you, you welcome the divine presence as something is happening. Just sensing the body, breathing, and resisting nothing that arises is another tool. Stating, I have a right not to be negative, or I can work, or one of the other work aphorisms. Taking things in a new way, seeing without associations. Someone reported about that, you know. This is a wonderful practice for anyone who lives with someone else, or, well, actually anything. When you're in one place for a long time, the impressions get pretty stale, don't they? I mean, we can all speak to that this past year. This is a wonderful practice to see without associations. I remember we lived in Ithaca, New York for 9 years. And at one point we lived on this hill that overlooked this valley. So it's so beautiful. We go back there now and it takes my breath away. But we lived there for a while, you know, and it just got ho-hum, right? It's really hard to take things in new ways, the things that you're around all the time. It's a wonderful practice. Can I bring the first conscious shock up to my incoming impressions all the time? I mean, what would that be like, right? To wake up in a new world every moment, that everything is a new impression. That would be amazing. That would be really amazing. And then finally, you can apply inquiry in the moment. We've talked about this before. You know, is this thought, belief, judgment, is this true? If that's what's coming up, and or who or what am I without that thought or belief? And there was something else I was gonna say. Impressions include pleasant ones, right? It's the impressions are not only negative. We tend to think of we have to work on negative impressions. If we don't give the first conscious shock with pleasant impressions, the same thing happens. The octave doesn't continue. Okay. So that's motivation to get those higher hydrogens, even with those pleasant, wonderful experiences we have. The things we see every day, like I'm saying, that's taking things in a new way, really, same thing. So I would be really interested to hear from you. We've got a few minutes. If anyone would like to comment on what we've talked about so far, or to share other ideas for first conscious shock that you use so that the rest of us can learn from you. We'd love to hear. Bob, thank you.
Hey, where'd I go? Here I am.
There you are.
I just want to say thank you very much for that example that you just gave about the bird and the cat. That was fantastic. That helped me enormously.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
You're really welcome.
That was beautiful. And then when you said it's all lawful, wow, that just nailed it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah, I mean, when we see these things without all those associations we usually have, it's a whole new world. It's just totally different. And what I found interesting about that too, as I reflected on it more, was that, I mean, if I slowed that moment down or those moments down, there were a bunch of impressions. The bird flew in, the bird then flew to the thing, the cat, you know, there were a bunch of impressions there that I wasn't aware of really in that moment. And then I saw there was the impression, and then there was the internal impression that was coming up, you know? So there's two, it's kind of almost two things at the same time, you know? So yeah, thank you, Bob. Thank you, I'm glad it was helpful. Leanne, please.
Yeah, Bev, I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more about first conscious shock and pleasant sensations or pleasant thoughts.
Yeah, it's not that we're wanting to change them, transform them in the sense of making them, you know, from good to bad or bad to good. It's not that they're bad. There's nothing wrong with pleasant impressions. It's just that we can be identified with pleasant things as much as we can negative things. The idea is to take, you know, everything we can in a new way. By giving, it's really, I guess a better way of saying is just taking it more consciously to really being with it. It's like kind of like Don was talking about when he slowed down that time, you know, it's like we bring presence to it. Self-remembering is presence. So does that help at all? Does that make sense? Oops, it looks like, there you go.
Yes, I think so. So is gratitude be, so in that moment, having gratitude for the whatever the happy or the good thing is, the impression, or?
Well, certainly that can be, yes. I mean, that could be it too, because a lot of times these pleasant things happen and we don't have gratitude, right? I think that is a degree of waking up around it for sure. It's just, you know, wanting to be as awake as we can.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. And
awareness to whatever is coming up.
Yeah. And it's a good question to hold, you know. What about pleasant and happy things? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You.
Marky, please.
Oh,
yep, you're good.
Okay, I'll make mine quick. I see a lot of hands up. I just wanted to comment on trying to take in new impressions in a new way. I'm one of my aims is to really try to not feed into the polarization that is real common in, you know, our life these days. And I find that one of the challenges is when I'm at the grocery store and I see people who don't wear masks, and I'm trying to not look at that in the same mechanical way. That's really all I want to say. And it's, you know, I have my work cut out for me.
Yes. It's, and for me, if you have the time to do inquiry on the beliefs around it, you know, it's really good. Everyone should wear masks, or they, you know, whatever the belief is, just to get the stickiness off of it, then it clears all of, it can clear that too. But yeah, it is big work and it's an opportunity. Thank you very much, everyone who's not wearing masks. Thanks, Marky. We thank everyone who gives us the opportunity to work, right? Thank you. Thank you. Greta, please.
I'd like to comment on a first conscious shock. Yes. Yesterday, I was having a wonderful time with another person, and it happened to be in a red convertible Porsche, driving 80 miles an hour down a road, singing to Steely Dan, wind in the hair, up, down, etc. And I said, wow, this is a wonderful moment. And I'm so grateful for it. And I won't forget it. And they said, yeah, it's better than most. And I said, every moment is wonderful. This is just one that I want to put in my memory bank, because I have this sense to put a three-centered observation on it, because, you know, there was radiation and wind and there was so much exhilaration in my body and joy. And, you know, when you're singing, it's a real ability to express yourself. And I had the awareness to take it all in. And so it really made a difference that I had the work in that sense, because it is an impression that is now both is a memory that's three-centered, and but it's one that we can make at every moment in our lives. And the whole idea that if we were three-centered, we would always hold that memory is something that I really strive for. Thank you, Bev.
Thank you, Greta. It's a beautiful testimony to being awake in the moment. I mean, what a life we can lead, right? I'm sorry, the rest of you were out of time at this moment. The homework, well, let me see. I'm going to share my screen real quick, Marianne. I promise I'll be done in a moment here. So we're going to be practicing the first conscious shock. If you've looked at the email, you'll see there's a lot of links. And so don't get overwhelmed. Try not to give into the ego wanting to check off everything and be the good work student and go through, do it all, you know. What's drawing you? What speaks to you to work on? Okay. Have fun with this. The first conscious shock, does the space even open up? If it doesn't, just observe that. Have a wish, have an intention that it will. And with different impressions, how does your experience change? Next week, we'll be talking about transforming impressions in retrospect. And then the August practice, there's this beautiful, beautiful quote from Valentin Tomberg. Take that in. I don't have time to read it. I really did want to, but you know, it gives you the sense of hope. And so can you sense that each dawn? That's our practice for this week, along with watching dawn and dusk. So thank you all so much for your attention and intention, and may our work together tonight and this week be transubstantiated in our being. Blessings on your work. Amen. Back to you, Marianne.
Thank you so much, Bev, for that enlivening evening. And because we are at the fullness of our time, we'll just close with prayer and gratitude for everything that has been given to us. Thank you. So we can join by praying aloud wherever we are, the prayer of God's infinite love. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen. Amen.